Amen.
Amen. We want to thank God for this time. Hallelujah. Let's go to the word and let's go to the word of God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to continue a series called The False God of the Debased Mind. And the things that are covered, we can always refer back to the videos that are put up. But tonight, what I want to talk about, go into, is the tranquility and life of a spiritual minded. The tranquility, I use that word tranquility because when I was praying, the Lord gave me that word tranquility. Then I started to ask Him. Then the Lord told me, go to that scripture where it says, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then the word for peace the Lord gave me to go much deeper into it is the English word tranquility. That's why I put up tranquility. We will see that afterwards. Hallelujah. But I told you, I don't know how many of you have gone through Romans chapter number 7 and Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 talks about the spiritual mind and the carnal mind. But for you to understand the spiritual mind and the carnal mind, you have to understand Romans chapter number 7 that I already explained last week. Okay? But what I am going to start off with is Romans chapter number 7, verse number 22 to 25. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 7, verse number 22 to 25. For I delight, now this was the struggle that Apostle Paul was facing, and I told you about the oldness of the letter and the newness of the spirit, and I explained to you the law and how without the Holy Spirit, if you read the law will bring death and the exaltation of sin, because the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter number 3, we saw that and all those stuff. So but let's start off from Romans 7, verse number 22, and let's understand what is the war that goes on inside a human being when the human being becomes a Christian. What is the war? What is the battle that goes on? 22, Apostle Paul says here, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So that is an inward man. That inward man is called the spirit man. Okay? And he delights in the law of God. The inward man likes the law, but the flesh does not likes the law. That's what he's saying. But I see another law in my members. Members meaning the flesh. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my member. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God. So the mind that serves the law of God is called the spiritual mind. So, what I want to say is, when Apostle is writing this struggle within himself, he is writing not while having a carnal mind, but he is writing this about this struggle while having a spiritual mind. Are we together? Okay, stay with me. So, what I want to tell you is from this scripture, even for the spiritually minded people, there will be a war. Okay? Spiritual minded is not the non-existence of a battle inside of you. Are we understanding? Oh, I am spiritually minded, so I will not feel the temptation, I will not feel the pressure. Even for the spiritually minded person, there is a war in in the battleground of your mind. Okay? That is what, are we understanding that? Okay. First of all, when Jesus talked about fasting, he did not say how to fast first, but he said how not to fast. Do not fast like the Pharisees, who make their faces long faces, don't wash their face. When he talked about giving, he first said how not to give. Do not give like the Pharisees. But afterwards he said, let not your left hand. And then when he talked about prayer, first he said, do not pray like the Pharisees. Do not pray like them, standing on the street. You know, they want to be heard, but go into your inner room. So whenever Jesus taught, when I study the teachings of Jesus, the pattern of his teachings, first, before he teaches the truth, he first clears the minds of people of the misconceptions they have about the subject. And then he comes to the truth. Are we understanding? That is, you read Matthew's chapter number 6, I don't have time, but you, when he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and then before he comes to the subject of fasting, of prayer, of giving, he first clears out the misconceptions about it. Are we understanding? Okay, so before I go to the spiritual mind, I want to clear out the misconception about the spiritual mind. All right, so spiritual mind is not going in the third heaven and flying high and having no problem. Even for the spiritually minded person, there is a war. Okay, do you see that in the scripture? Apostle Paul is saying his mind is serving God. He has a spiritual mind. This guy does not have a carnal mind. But yet he says there is a war that my mind is having. And who is doing that war? The law that is in his flesh is waging war with the law that his spiritual mind has. So that brings me to the conclusion, that brings me to the realization that a spiritual minded person, the spiritual minded person has a war. It's not that to be spiritually minded is always walking in the third heaven, is always walking in, there will be a war, because the war will continually, there will be a war, a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Flesh and the spirit means the mind that is influenced by the flesh, the carnal mind, and the mind that is influenced by the spirit, the spiritual mind. There will be a war between the law of the members, that is the flesh, and the law, the spiritual mind, when you start to pursue having the spiritual mind. Are we together? Now, so there will be a war. That is what I said. So what to do now? You have to win the war. How? And how will you win the war? I and you have to continually, and it's not one victory. It's many victories. It's continual victories that we have to battle out and win the wars. And even as we have victories, what will it lead to is the renewal of the mind. So you are not conformed to the patterns of the world. Your mind will be renewed day by day. Hallelujah. That is what Romans chapter number 12 talks about. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of the world, but be renewed. The renewal will happen when you are in the war and when you get victories, when you get victories. Hallelujah. You know, if I am the Indian cricket team captain and there is a World Cup and I won the World Cup in 1996, okay? And after that, we never won a World Cup after 1996. So I cannot talk, we have to talk about whether there was a consistency for us to be a stronger team, for a dominant team. So what God wants you to do is, God wants you to walk in continual victory in your mind, continual victory. If today you won a victory, don't be satisfied with that. I won a victory. Let me go take my bed, take the pillow and go and sleep on my bed. I have done it. No. There are other wars that are pending. You need to continue winning the victories. Are we understanding that? Okay. Hallelujah. Stay with me. The war has to be won. And the war could be won. The war could be won when leading to tranquility and life, when you discipline your thoughts and discipline your thoughts and discipline your body, that is your flesh. Hallelujah. Everyone say, I need to discipline my thoughts. Everyone say that. Hallelujah.
I need to discipline my thoughts.
I need to discipline my thoughts.
Disciplining your thoughts. That is what I learned of it's not about ministry, okay? It's not about being used by God. It's about walking in victory. Like David was not a minister. David was not a king, but yet he walked in victory. He could defeat Goliath. Why? In the wilderness, God trained him to discipline the thoughts. Many of us don't know to discipline our thoughts. Don't know to tame our thoughts. Put a limit, put a jurisdiction on the thoughts that come into our mind. Okay? Disciplining our thoughts. Now, I ask the Lord, what is the meaning? What is it to discipline your thoughts? Write it down. To discipline your thoughts is to endure temptation. Just write that down. We will explain that. Disciplining your thought is what? Is to endure temptation. Enduring temptation is disciplining your thoughts. Enduring what? Temptations is disciplining your thoughts. James chapter number 1, verse number 12. Let's go there. Thank you, Lord. James chapter number 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Stop there. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. So, enduring temptation is disciplining your thought. What is enduring temptation? When I studied the Bible, there are three places that I understood can be taken into consideration in the Bible to understand enduring temptation. The first place is Genesis chapter number 3, when the serpent came to Eve. Eve started to think and she said, aha, the fruit is good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and can give me wisdom. What started to happen? Thoughts started to enter her mind and she did not tame her thoughts. She did not reject the thoughts. Okay, so these three thoughts come. That is the first thing about temptation that the Lord showed me. The second one is Luke chapter number 4. We will come to the column table and I will explain you. Luke chapter number 4, where Jesus was tempted. Now that what Jesus did, that is what I call disciplining your thoughts and enduring temptation. Listen to me. I know we have seen movies of Jesus where the serpent comes or a person in a black cloth comes and says, if you are the Son of God, turn this. What happened to Jesus was thoughts were coming into his mind. The devil, when he speaks to you, a snake will not come in your room and start to speak to you. You know, look at that woman. You need to sleep with the woman. No, a thought will come through the lust of your eyes. So what really happened there in the wilderness that Jesus was attacked in the mind? All right, are we understanding? It was thoughts that came to him, that were speaking to him. If you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. That was the thought from the enemy that came into his mind. But what did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So enduring temptation, that means disciplining your thought. Whatever is not of God, I reject that thought. I block that thought. Then that enduring means one thought came, you rejected it. It did not stop there. Another thought came. And the devil said, you see the kingdoms of the world, I will give that to you. Bow down to me. Another thought. Again he resisted the thought. Again, that did not stop there. Again he came and said, if you throw down yourself, the Bible, the scripture says that he will give angels in charge over you, that your foot will not be hurt. And he said, it's written, do not tempt the Lord your God. Do not test the Lord your God in some version. And so temptation after temptation after temptation, but he resisted the temptation. That is disciplining your thoughts. The meaning of it is enduring temptation. So are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Believers don't know to discipline their thoughts. If sin will emerge, it will emerge through a thought, giving into, springing up into a desire that you would want to have. That is how sin will emerge in a person, and that is how carnality is achieved, and that is how satisfaction of the flesh is achieved. But if you start to discipline your thoughts, what is disciplining your thoughts? Enduring temptation. Enduring temptation. Enduring temptation. The Lord taught me in my walk with Him to discipline my thought. When I start to discipline my thoughts, I endure temptation. I am going from glory to glory. I am walking in victory. No one can depress me. No one can put me down. No one can manipulate me. No one can deceive me. I am in Christ. I am secure in Him. I know where I am going. I know what I am doing. I am living a life of victory.
Amen.
Are we understanding? Disciplining your thoughts is enduring temptation. Disciplining your thoughts is enduring temptation, because sin, death starts from a thought, and the thought is converted into a desire. The desire, when it is given to, is converted into a sin, and then sin leads to death. So we will come to the other parts, but let's focus on the roots that are thoughts, thoughts, thoughts. James said, James chapter number 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. That means he disciplines his thoughts. Anything that comes in his mind that is not aligning with the will of God, with the scriptures, and with what the Holy Spirit has told him or her, he rejects the thoughts. He limits those thoughts. No. I don't want to ponder upon that thought. I don't want to ponder upon that thought. That's why Jesus said, Moses told you about adultery, about not coveting another's wife. But I tell you, even if you lust after a woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Jesus came to deal with the root of sin. He just did not come to pluck out the bad fruits that is growing on the bad tree. You pluck out the bad fruits, and then after a while, the bad fruits will again come. He came to be the axe that will be laid at the root and pull out sin out of your life. Hallelujah. And make you more like Him. That is why Jesus died. It says the lamb that was sacrificed for the sin. He came to deal with the root. The root is in your mind. The root is in the carnal mind. The root is in the carnal mind. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? And that's the war of a spiritually minded person. If you are spiritual minded, you will always have a war within you. And you will experience the law of the flesh, the law of your members warring against the law that is in your mind, the spiritual mind. There will be a fight in you. There will be a war in you. And if that war is in you, congratulations, you are going on the right way. The only thing that I want to teach you tonight is how to win battles and how to have victory. Discipline your thoughts. Discipline your thoughts. Discipline your thoughts. At a very young age, at the age of 19, when Jesus encountered me, I know He chose me for an apostolic ministry. And it's not like that there are no other apostles. There are other apostles. But Jesus told me, you will walk as I have ordained you to walk. And then you need to sacrifice a lot of things for this ministry that I'm going to put you in. You got to sacrifice. So the things that are lawful for you will not be lawful for me. And when those things come into my mind, I need to know, no, Jesus called me into this, so I cannot do it. I cancel that. I don't ponder upon that thought. I don't ponder upon that thought. You know, many people store hurts and bitter feelings and unforgiveness in their heart. You know why? Because they cannot discipline their thoughts. Someone did, I forgive them, but there are chains of thoughts coming about that situation, about that person, that you are not able to resist. And then you start to feel bitter. You start to feel poisoned and frustrated because you are not able to resist the temptation. You are not able to discipline your thoughts. Are we understanding that? Discipline your thoughts. Discipline your thoughts. This man was calling me, oh brother, pray for me, and this is the situation. What should I do? Should I take up this? I said no. I prayed, and the Lord told me, no, you cannot. The Lord told me, and I gave him the scripture, explained to him, no, you cannot do that. Okay, I will not do that. After 2 weeks, brother, can you again ask the Lord, should I do that? They don't know that once God speaks once, and then we have to hear him twice. What does the Bible says? Every good and perfect gift, James 1:17, is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So he is not a varying God. He does not have variables. His word is established and perfect. There is no turning away. Once he speaks, that's his idea. Remember Balaam? God told him not to go, but he was still going. But it was God's will not to go. So that did not change. So, but we, again and again, our mind wavers. And we start to waver in the word that God has given us, in the restrictions that God has set over us. We start to waver. And in that context, we need to discipline our thoughts if we want to have victories in our life, if we want to walk in the power, if we want to walk in the spirit, if you want to have tranquility and life. To be spiritual minded is life and peace, tranquility and life. Hallelujah. Disciplining your thoughts is what enduring temptation, are we understanding? So the thoughts that are a temptation, we resist that. That means we are enduring temptation. Let's go ahead. James chapter 1 verse 12. So blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one now, okay? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Stop there. When anyone is tempted, let him not say that he or she is tempted by God, because the Bible says God cannot tempt. What he can do is he can allow temptation, but the one who will tempt you is Satan. And then the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, he will not allow temptation beyond your limit. Like he is your father, you are his daughter, you are his son. So he will always keep a check on the devil. Like, for example, what he told Satan about Job. Okay, you can touch his property, but don't touch his life. His life belongs to me. Okay, you can touch his children, don't touch his life. But who was the one wanted to tempt and wanted to do evil with Job? Satan. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So God will, James is explaining to some people, because there are servants of God, I heard them saying, they fell into adultery. And then they say, oh, God, you know, there was this from God, I fell into that. No, God did not tempt you. He will never want you to fall into adultery. No, that will never happen. Why did you fell into adultery? The answer is because you were tempted and you were drawn away by your own desires. Hallelujah. By your own desires. Desire. Everyone say desire. Desire.
Desire.
By your own desire. This is the second level of the study today. First, the thoughts, when you entertain the thoughts, when you receive the thought, okay, this thought, this thing, I want to have it. The thoughts will lead you into desires. Are we understanding? But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed. Verse number 15. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Thought, desire, sin, and death. So the desires that we have been emerged on the basis of the thoughts that we have pondered upon, or the thoughts that we have accepted, or the thoughts we have received and entertained, from that creeps out the desires. That from that creeps out the desires. Okay, a desire is conceived in the thoughts that leads to sin eventually, and sin leads to death. All right, now to explain you that thing, I want to take you to the three places in the Bible. So you, if you have a diary, make three columns, 1, 2, 3, three columns. The heading of the first column will be Genesis chapter number 3, verse 6. The heading of the second column would be Luke chapter number 4, verse 1 to 4. Okay, first column, Genesis 3, verse 6. The second column heading would be Luke chapter number 4, verse number 1 to 4. The heading of the third column would be 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 16. Let me come again. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 6, first column, heading. Second column would be Luke chapter number 4, verse number 1 to 4. And the third column is 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 16. Are we together? Let's go to the first point in the first column. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 6. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 6. I am teaching you the hierarchy, explaining you what James is talking about, desire, sin, and death. I'm talking about the hierarchy. When you understand that hierarchy, you will be able to discipline your thoughts better. Are we together? Okay. We will be able to discipline our thoughts when we know the word God. Because the only way Jesus could discipline his thoughts and endure temptation was what? It is written. Not only it is written, he did not memorize scripture, but he had the right understanding of the scripture, because the third temptation that came to him was on the basis of the scripture. We'll come to that. Okay, so having the right understanding of the scripture, I am telling you, more than silver and gold and the wealth and the fame of the world, if you desire the wisdom of the word, you will have the best life on this earth. The life of peace and the life and peace that comes from a spiritual mind. So understanding of the word, not just reading the word, not just going to thesis, going to commentaries, going to Bible college and learning and having degrees, understanding the word by being in the presence of God, intimate with God, that is what will help you have victories over and help you discipline your thoughts. Discipline your thoughts. Okay. Genesis chapter number 3. The first column, the first point. Verse number 6. So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, before she... These are what? Desires. These are desires in her heart. So, how did the desires come, brethren? The desires come because of the speaking of the serpent in her mind. What was the speaking of the serpent? I have already preached, but let's see that in the previous verses. The serpent was saying in verse number 4, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So that those were thoughts in her mind that the serpent put. And then she accepted the thoughts. When she accepted the thought, what happened? Desire popped up. What was the desires? The desire was, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the first desire, it is good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. That was the second desire that popped up. It looks good. It is beautiful. You know? And I desire to have it. And the tree desirable to make one wise. The third desire. These are desires, people of God. Check out your desires, okay? Desires. She took, then after these three desires she had, she wanted to satisfy those desires. In order to satisfy her desires, what she did? She took of its fruit and ate. And then she did not only ate, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Oh, wow. Oh God, hallelujah. You see, God made Adam and Eve. in a covenant with each other. Man should not be alone. It's not good for the man to be alone. Let's make a wife. Hallelujah. And then what Eve was doing was because of the lack of understanding of the word that God had given. Okay, let's not go into that. But the first thing, the desire that came was the tree was good for food. The tree was good for food. Okay, write down first point, good for food. The first point under Genesis 3:6 in that first column is good for food. Then let's go to the second column, Luke chapter number 4, verse number 1 to 4. What was the first temptation? Turn the stones into bread and eat it again, food. Stay with me. There is a reason. The first thing that will come to fight against your spiritual mind is an altar, is food. Is food, is food. Stay with me, stay with me. In the second column, write down, turn stones into bread. That is again food. I am showing you the similarities. It's all, these things are related in the Bible. And then in 1 John chapter number 2 verse 16, the first thing that is mentioned, 1 John chapter number 2 verse 16, in the third column is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. That is a strong desire of the flesh. Okay. Why does the devil wants you to have his food? What is the meaning of it? Okay. So I am not saying, okay, stop eating food. Stop going and having your ice creams. No, no, no. If you study your Bible, Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and he ate. He went to the wedding of Cana. He had a good time with his chaps, with his disciples eating and drinking there. So he ate. But when it came to the devil offering food, he rejected the food. When it came to the devil offering him food, he rejected the food. The devil said, turn the stones into bread. He rejected the food. Now, even for Eve, it was not that they did not have food. They had food. The whole garden was there. Come on, go somewhere and eat it. Why do you want to come to this place only? Why do you want to come to this place only? So what the enemy does first is he takes advantage of your appetite, not only your physical appetite, but also the appetite that is in your flesh that craves for something that can give you results, that can give you results, that can make you something that makes you feel good. Are we understanding? That is the area the devil attacks first, in the area of food. And Eve was not able to resist that. The temptation, the thoughts that came when she pondered on the thoughts, the first desire that crept up, it's good for food. It's better than the other fruits of the garden. Come on, God has given you so much to eat, all in the garden. But when you are entertaining those thoughts, your desire is for you to eat the specific food. What did God told David when he fell into adultery? God told David, didn't I give you many wives? David had three wives that time. He had concubines. But yet, why do you want to go and sleep with Bathsheba and commit adultery with someone else's wife? Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So, yes. Let me explain that to you. What the first thing that he does to you, he makes you unsatisfied and discontented with the things that God has given you, to search for something that is outside of God, that is outside of a food that is not in the scripture. The food God has given me, feast. God has given me meat. God has given me pure milk here. He has given me honey here. But I let me search out for something different, for faster life, for faster result, for quick fixes. So I want to go outside. That is the first area that is attacked in your mind. Are we understanding? Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Now the way to handle this temptation is how Jesus handled the temptation. He said, devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So he, if he is showing you a woman, I shall not live by that. I should live by what God has offered me. I shall not lust after that woman. I am contented with the wife that I have. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. So if the devil, oh, look at the woman in your office. Look at the woman, you know, she is talking nicely with you and makes you lust. Your eyes go at the wrong places. No, I am contented with my wife. She is the woman that God gave me. You understanding? She is the woman that, so that is the meaning. You are rejecting the devil's food. He's trying to feed you something. He's trying to feed you something. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Someone calls you, oh, you know what? Everyone is going to that place and this is happening in that place and you will also get your results. You know, you are also suffering. So I thought of, no. I am having my word. I am having my food here. So I will not go at the other table to have my food. Are we understanding? That is the first area in your mind he will attack. He will start to tell you, you are going slow, Rahul. You are going slow. You need to have something else. Come on. You know, you are not getting your breakthrough. We will come to that. The tranquility and life of a spiritual minded. When I start to explain you his characteristics, you will understand how a spiritual mind operates. Are we understanding? The first thing is the desire, is the appetite that he takes advantage of. If your appetite is, that is what happened to the people of Israel. They said, we are fed up with the manna that God is giving us. Let us have the cucumbers and onions. And for that, we need to go to Egypt, you know. Let us go back there. Hallelujah. This is the question I want to ask you. Are you content with what God has given you? Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Hallelujah. Are you content? I am content. I am happy. I am rejoicing. Whatever ministry God gave me, whatever people God gave me, whatever things God gave me, I am rejoicing. Hallelujah. I am contented. Are you content? Are you in content with the things, the revelations God gave me? I am content. If I hear anyone preaching a higher revelation, I rejoice. God has given him that. But I don't covet those things. I don't covet the things that other people have. I am contented. Hallelujah. Are you content? Eve, if she was content with what God has given her, she would not fall into the appetite of the enemy. If Israel was satisfied in what God was giving them, they would not fall. They had thoughts in their mind. Oh, cucumbers. Oh, leeks. Oh, onions. Oh, meat. Oh, steak. And all those stuff. Hallelujah. That is the first place. That was the first area. The member of the law in your flesh will start to war. And it will start to create desire. No. I want to have that. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So the three similar things. In the first column, it's good for food. In the second column, turn the stones into bread against food. And lust of the flesh is not sex. Lust, sex comes through your appetite. Through appetite, through gluttony. The more a person is given to appetite, the more he has no control over his eyes. The more he has no control over his mind, he will be sold to the spirit of lust. The meaning of lust technically is strong sexual desire. But here, when the Bible mentions lust, it is an uncontrollable desire of the flesh. Like Eve could not control it. It is good for food. I want to eat it. Okay? Before I go to the second point, let me show you scripture from Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter number 16 and verse number... Ezekiel. Chapter number 16, verse number 48 and 49. As I live, says the Lord, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. Okay, what was the iniquity? Pride, fullness of food and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. No help for those who would need help. But let's focus on the three points. Pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. They were given up to eat anything that was offered to them. both physically and spiritually, and they were idle. Even though they were idle, yet they had abundance of food. How could that happen? Hallelujah. And that is what led them to, for a man to sleep with a man and a woman to sleep with a woman. That was the sin that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, because they were given up to appetite. They could not tame their appetite. They could not be content in what they had. And the devil takes advantage of that. Are we together? Let's go to the second point. The second point is, and in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 16, that is the lust of the flesh. Okay, that is the lust of the flesh. It's related to appetite. It's related to, I'm not content here. I want to find something outside of God. That is lust. You lust for it. You are not contented. Like in a marriage, the husband or a wife lust for another man or another woman when they are not content with their marriage, not satisfied in their marriage. That is a lust. That's when you are not satisfied with your only husband, your first love, Jesus Christ, you start to see something outside. That is called lust of the flesh. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. These things I don't require. I shall live by the word of the Lord. This is what I shall live by. Okay, second point, Genesis chapter number 3, going back in the first column. Second point in the first column, Genesis 3 verse 6. Tree was good for food and then it was pleasant to the eyes. It was what? Pleasant to the eyes. Luke chapter number 4, when you read that, the second temptation, what was that? Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter number 4. So write down in the second point in the first column is pleasant to the eyes. And then let's go to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. Verse number 5, then the devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So the devil makes you see things. Do you see that? He made Eve, made Eve change the perspective through the thoughts. So if you are not able to discipline your thought, that the enemy will be able to manipulate the way you see at things. You know? Oh, I want to have what that person has. I want to achieve that success. Your eyes can lead you into covetousness. That is what is happening. It is good. It is pleasant to the eyes. I want to have it. And here, in the second column, the second point, what did the devil do? He made Jesus look at the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. So, what the second area where he fights with your spiritual mind is, he will make you look at things. And through looking at things, the desire will emerge. Look at things. Look at things and the desires will emerge. I want to be like that. Oh, you know what? I want to be like Elon Musk. I want to be like that person. I want to have authority like that person. No. That is covetousness. That is what he will bring things before you. You know, the whole day, there are so many things that are coming in front of us. And when we look at things, there are some things that the devil makes us look at things and start to birth those things, start to birth desires in our heart to have it. Hallelujah. And you will start to give in to the desire and take the fruit and eat it if you are again not satisfied by the things of God. We need to be contented with the things of God, okay? Pleasant to eyes in the first column, in the second column is showed him all the kingdoms. So Jesus had a look at all the kingdoms. And in the third column, 1 John chapter number 2 verse 16, that is called the lust of the eyes. Okay, these three things. the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes. So the thoughts that come to you, you know, many people, they are spiritual people having a spiritual mind, but there they are single and they are not married, and there they are, went for a movie, and it's a romantic movie. And the way the boy meets the girl is, it's so dramatic. And then they get married, it's so dramatic. And then after that, they have the movie. After they come back from the movie, a certain desire creeps in their heart. I want to have a partner like that. Like the person I saw in the movie. I want to have the partner like that. So everything that you see, the stories that you see, the movies that you see, the pictures that you see, that can bring a desire in your heart, which would be against the plan and the will of God in your life. Do you know, in South India here, all the movies that they make, they show the hero of the movie, the actor of the movie, as a gangster and as a womanizer. And when you go to those places, I have been to South India, because when I was studying Merchant Navy, I was in South India, in the South Indian colleges. And all the South Indian guys who were with me, they were all womanizer. They all depicted the heroes that they show in the movie. Because what they were looking at, that is how they became. Hallelujah. Listen to me. You cannot blame your parents for what life you are living today. Oh, because I looked at my parents, they were like that, and that's why I'm like, no. The Bible says to discipline your thoughts. That means endure temptation. I will not be like my father. I will not be an abuser. I will not be an alcoholic. I want to be like Christ. I don't want to be like the people that whom I see. I want to come to the Bible, read the scripture. I want to be what the scripture says. I want to walk in what the scripture says. The devil said to Jesus, look at all the kingdoms of the earth. You can be one of the richest and most famous person on this earth. And Jesus said, I don't want to be. Hallelujah. I don't want to be like one of them. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? He said, get behind me, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve only in him. Only him. That was the heart of Jesus. He said, I don't want the kingdom, though I will get the kingdoms from my Father. He will bring it at my feet. But what I want is to worship my Father and serve only him and be under him. I don't want anything else. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. The spiritual minded. Stay with me. That is the lust of the eyes. And lust of the eyes is related to covetousness, is to become like someone. Hallelujah. No problem, you are not like a famous or a successful person. Be satisfied who you are in Christ. Be satisfied in your identity in Christ. Are we understanding that? So pleasant to eyes, even Jesus saw all the kingdoms. And the third column, lust of the eyes. That is the lust of the eyes. The third one, Genesis chapter number 3, verse 6, in the third one in the first column, it can make you wise. It can make you wise. That means you can have your own wisdom. You know, you can interpret the scriptures by your own understanding. That was make one wise. That is the third one in the third, in the first column. The third one in the second column, what was the third temptation? Verse number 9. He took Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he is quoting scripture, devil, quoting scripture. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Wow, he is quoting scripture word by word, line by line. So he's saying, Jesus, you had been telling me, you know what? scripture, it is written, here I bring you. It is written. What do you think about it? That is the third area of temptation, where he will see you are not giving in to the lust of the flesh. You are not giving in to the lust of the eyes. He will play with your mind for you to misinterpret the scripture and have your own understanding of the scripture. Are we together? But Jesus said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt, or in other words, simple word, test the Lord your God. Hallelujah. You know, a pastor wanted to show people and prove the scripture that you we shall trample over snakes and scorpions and it shall by no means harm you. He wanted to show, and he brought a snake and made the snake bite himself. You are testing the Lord. It's another thing that you were in the woods and suddenly a snake bit you. If that is where the power of God will work and nothing will happen to you, because it was done as per the situation. You were not testing the scriptures. Hallelujah. I understand about unbelievers, but believers don't speak like, if God did this with do this with me, I will give God this. If God do that with me, if God will give me this, if God will give me that, you are testing the scriptures. You are testing the word of God. That is what the devil came. Okay, put yourself down. And the word of the Lord says that this will happen. See if it happens or not. And Jesus said, I will not do it, even though you are quoting scripture to me, because I will not test the Lord my God. Hallelujah. Twisting of scriptures in your mind. Twisting of scriptures in your mind. In your mind. That is the third thing. The enemy will come against you. Are we understanding? And what is that? That is the pride of life. The pride of life is not having money and becoming famous. That is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. The pride of life is thinking that you are smarter than God. That is the pride of life. There is thinking that you have a wisdom that is more higher than that of God. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Now, do you understand the battleground? The thoughts, if you give in to the thoughts, it will generate desires, like the three desires that generated an Eve. And where, and then that desire will lead you to sin, and sin will lead you to death. Okay, hallelujah. Come back. Now, very important. Listen to me very, very carefully. The next thing that I'm teaching you. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 6. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 6. And then I want to give you 7 points of the tranquility and the life of a spiritual minded. After talking about this. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 6. Okay. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the word the Lord gave me was life and tranquility. What is the meaning of tranquility? The meaning of tranquility is a peaceful, calm state without noise, violence, worry, bitterness, etc. That is the kind of peace. That is tranquility. A peaceful and calm state. So if you are walking in the... If you are able to endure temptation, you are living a victorious life with a spiritual mind. Some people are bombarded. They have a spiritual mind, but they give into temptation. So then they turn into a carnal mind. So one day they are high, second day they are low, because you are not able to have victories. But when you are a spiritually minded person, you will have life and you will have tranquility. The peace that passeth all understanding shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. What it means, it's a higher level of peace that no man can give you, and the things of the world cannot give you. It's without any noise, worry, violence, without any insecurity, without anything else, satisfaction to its fullest contentment. That is what you will have. That is the greatest gift you will have while you walk. You will not, you know, you might not have the money like the wealthy people, but you will have the tranquility and the life of a spiritual minded. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Mm-hmm. Now, listen to me very carefully. Death, to be carnally minded is death. What is death? Death is non-existence of the presence of God in your life. Death is the non-existence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Are we understanding? And then there is something called as eternal death, that is completely parting away from the life of God to no hope. And towards doom, come, you know, non-existence of God forever. That is the eternal death. That is when a person physically dies. He goes to hell if he did not live a life pleasing to God. Okay? What is life? Life is the existence of the presence of God. So when the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, it is talking about a life that is lived in the presence of God, with the presence of God. So for a spiritually minded person, if you ask him, what is the thing that you want? You want success, you want breakthrough, you want this, you want your children to be engineers and doctors. He will say, no. All these things, yeah, you know what? God will give that to me. I desire, I pray for that. But what I need is only the presence of God. Because a spiritually minded person, for him, it is life. Life is the presence of God that is all he needs. And then the state that he will be in is in a state of tranquility, peace. Life and peace, life and tranquility. Are we understanding that? Okay. Hallelujah. Stay with me. This is what God gave me. The seven characteristics of a spiritually minded person. And I believe when I say these 7 points, the Holy Spirit would speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. The seven characteristics of the tranquility and the life of the spiritually minded. The first one is, a spiritually minded person loves the presence of God above all, even himself. A spiritually minded person, if you are a spiritually minded person, check out. Because a spiritually minded person loves the presence of God above all, even himself. Ah, I did not have this. No. That's okay. I don't want it. If it did not happen, it's okay. I want the presence of God to be there. That's it. That's all I want. That is the first characteristic of a spiritually minded person. Psalm chapter number 73, verse number 25 to 26. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm chapter number 73, verse number 25 to 26. Yeah. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Hallelujah. So he's saying, my strength is failing. I am not in a good condition, but what I desire, whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire beside you. My strength, my heart is failing, but God is the portion, is the strength of my heart. I have made God my refuge. I have made God my strength. I have made God my portion. I have made God my joy. My satisfaction is my God, is the presence of God. The first characteristic of a spiritually minded person. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? The second characteristic of a spiritually minded person. A spiritually minded person doesn't complain, even if something he wanted was not received by him, or something he expected did not happen. Okay, hallelujah. Most people don't want to hear that. A spiritually minded person will never complain of something that he wanted, did not receive. He was praying about, he did not receive. Something he was expecting to happen did not happen. He will never complain. He will never say, oh God, you did not do that with me. All that he will say is that the Lord, I still trust the Lord, and all I need is still your presence. Okay, I did not get it. Hallelujah. Amen. David fasted and prayed for the child to be alive, the child that was born through Bathsheba. He prayed, he fasted, pleaded with the Lord, Lord, please, please, please. God did not spare the child. And David, after he heard the child was dead, he got up, he started to eat. And he continued worshiping the Lord. So what happens, what you get, what you expect did not happen, that does not change your relationship with God. Oh, you did not do this with me. I will not give you this. I will not do that for you. It's not that kind of give and take relationship. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? This guy Moses served the Lord in his old age, served the Lord. And God said, and he pleaded with the Lord, Lord, in Deuteronomy, could you please let me go into Canaan? And God said, no. He wanted to go. You see, he wanted to go. God said, no. But did he leave God? No. He continued to walk and serve God. So that is, hallelujah, the second characteristic of a spiritual minded person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even though we don't receive, even though things don't happen, But we, I will not say, no, I will reduce my time with you. I will not serve you with, because you are not doing things. So no, I trust the Lord. Lord, I will even worship you more. That's okay. He lets go of things that he did not receive, and he continues to trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you have to understand that Jesus was tempted in every way that you and me are tempted? That's written in the book of Hebrews. So what I understand from that scripture is Jesus had a desire to settle down with a family. He had a desire because every one of them around him were married, they had children, they had businesses. He had a desire to settle down in Jerusalem, to have a great carpentry shop, to have his wife. But God showed him the way, and he never complained. You know, I don't have a wife, I don't have children like other people, I don't have this. I No, Jesus never complained about it, because all he needed was the presence of his father. Do you think Apostle Paul was some special man with special abilities? No, he said, I discipline my flesh that I should not be disqualified. He had a desire to get married, to have children, to have a tent-making business, but he did not do all those things, and he never complained about it. He never cribbed about it. He never said, oh, I left everything, I left this, and I am serving God, but still I am suffering. No, he never complained. That is the characteristic of a spiritually minded person. You will never in their life hear them complaining about God, complaining against him. On
Hallelujah.
the contrary to many Christians nowadays that I meet up, some people came, oh, you know what, this is happening in our life, that is happening, and you know what, someone said, oh, because I'm spending time so much in the Lord, that's why I am going in debts. Oh, how can that happen? They complain, they have a thing about everything else, you know. But a spiritually minded person will never ever complain. If they did not get money, that's okay. But I love your presence. All I need, not that. Okay, I need your presence. I need your presence. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a spiritual-minded person. Is life and peace. He is not shaken. Hallelujah. Point number three. A spiritually-minded person rejoices always and give thanks in all situations. That's why Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians, then he said in Philippians, rejoice always. And technically, as per history, when he was writing Philippians, he was in the prison. He was under arrest. And maybe a death sentence was passed on him, as per history. And there he writes that he is in the prison, a death sentence passed on him. And there he says to Philippians, rejoice always, Philippians chapter number 4, verse 4. And again, I say rejoice, as he was spiritually minded. Situations don't affect him. Situations can't steal the joy of the Lord. He is spiritually minded. A spiritually minded person rejoices always. Hallelujah. And give thanks in all situations. Point number 4. A spiritually minded person does not carry hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, but is quick to surrender everything to the Lord and let it go. Hallelujah. A spiritually minded person does not carry hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, but is quick to surrender everything to the Lord and let it go. Hallelujah. When people hurt you, discipline your thought to forget about it the same day. Okay, Lord, you know what? They insulted me. I know who I am in you, so I don't care about that, but I let it go. And forget about it completely. If thoughts come, forget about it. That's how you discipline your thought. That is what a spiritual minded person has practiced through his life. So he will not be offended. He will not carry hurts. He will not carry unforgiveness. Are you understanding that? God led me, God trained in those things, God trained me in those stuff. So anything, sometimes people say that, I said, okay, Lord, you know what? They are saying it to me, but they are saying it to you, so you handle them. I forget about it. I continue my joy. I will not let people disturb my peace and my tranquility and my the life that I will not let them disturb it. I will live the life that I want to live in God, in Christ. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? You see, Jesus, the Pharisees did so much to him, but even on the cross, he said, Lord, you just forgive them. You know, he had nothing against them. That is a spiritual mind. They are the ones who had him arrested, put him on the cross, spat on him, blasphemed against him, did what not against him. But look at Jesus. He was not offended. And nowadays Christians are offended with little teeny weeny things. Oh, you know what? He looked at me like this. I am offended. I think that's not how he should look at me. She should look at me. Oh, he called and then I did not like what he said, what she said. You are offended on all those stuff. Let it go. Hallelujah. A spiritually minded person. And that's why you are disturbed. You are like this. You know what? You are complaining about God, about people, about this, about that. But a spiritually minded person does not carry hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, but is quick to surrender everything to the Lord and let it go. That's the fourth point. The fifth point is a spiritually minded person is not insecure, covetous, and jealous about anyone or anything. A spiritually minded person is not insecure, covetous, and jealous about anyone or anything, but is contented of what he is in Christ and what he has in Christ. Mm. Hallelujah. Amen. So the pastor who will see another person, you know, preaching better revelation, and then he gets offended. That means he does not have a spiritual mind, because a spiritual mind will not be minded person will never be insecure, He will know what he is, which position he has. He will not be insecure of the progress of other people. He will not be jealous of them. He will not covet what other people want to do or other people have and perform. He will not be into those stuff. A spiritually minded person. Hallelujah. Okay? But he will be contented of what he is in Christ and what he has in Christ. Point number six. A spiritually minded person does not compete with anyone, but leads people to Christ. Hallelujah. He does not try to compare. He does not try to compete. You know, oh, you are doing, I am also doing. Oh, no, we are also doing. No. Does not try to compete or have comparisons, but what he will do is, you know what, I just want to help you and lead you to Christ. That is the sixth point. The seventh point is a spiritually minded person is not afraid of the enemy and does not gives up or bows down and wrestles in the strength of the Lord. When it comes to the devil, a spiritually minded person is aggressive. He is furious. He will be a lamb. But then when it comes to fight with the devil, he will be a lion. A spiritually minded person is not afraid of the enemy, is not afraid to face situations, is not afraid to face storms. Hallelujah. Is not afraid to face challenges of life. He will go and step into things that God wants him to go into with the strength of the Lord. He will not be afraid of the future. He will not be afraid of situation. There will be no fear ruling in him. That is the characteristic. Like Elisha. He had a spiritual mind. He had a spiritual perspective. So he was not afraid. The enemy is surrounding me. That's okay. I see the chariots of fire. Spiritual mind. Not afraid. Hallelujah. Jesus was not afraid of anyone. You know, I'm telling you what teaching I'm doing. You are listening to me. So I am able to teach you. You are listening to me. You are receiving things. Okay, you know, but the ministry of Jeremiah, the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus was teaching in the temple, they were not ready to listen to Jesus. They were like, what is he saying? So he had to teach to frowny faces. I know how difficult it is to preach and teach to frowny faces. Jeremiah was the same. He did not had a control setup like everyone will say amen and hallelujah to the prophecies he was giving. God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their frowny faces in Jeremiah 1. Do you remember that? Because when Jeremiah will teach, people will be like with sticks and knives to kill him. And there he's teaching to those people. They are not afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. Christians who want to get into ministry. Oh, I preach, but they did not listen to my word. They are not acknowledging my anointing. So what? Live like a spiritually minded person. Don't be afraid to do the things. Even if people reject, say the word out. Preach it out. Say it out. Let people think what they are thinking. Tell it to them. Don't be afraid of them. Hallelujah. They are not afraid of difficult assignments. They are not afraid to go into difficult places. Hallelujah. They are not afraid of anything. They are bold when it comes to preaching the word of God. They are bold when it comes to doing the things of God. They are not afraid of situations. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? I was like that in the beginning, but God trained me to be bold. So I don't care. If I know, if God told me, well done, Raul. And if the people say, oh, no, 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 it was horrible. I don't care about you. My God has told me. I got a confirmation from my God. That's it. Hallelujah. I don't care. Amen. Hallelujah. So I continue with the ministry because I am spiritually minded. I am not afraid of anything. God has given us the spirit of power, love, and sound mind, and not the spirit of fear and timidity. Hallelujah. That is the seventh characteristic of a spiritually minded person. And what I believe the Holy Spirit wanted to speak to us, those characteristics, so that we may know which place we are falling, you know, and which area we need to overcome. Hallelujah. And that is the tranquility. And he is secure, the spiritually minded person. He sleeps well. He rests. He has peace. He does not overthink, the spiritually minded person, because he knows, hallelujah, the God that he worships. That is a spiritually, that's why Jesus, he was not disturbed by the storms. He could silence the, be silent. I am walking you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We will, let me stop here. And then we will see how God leads us. Hallelujah. Father, we want to give you praise. We want to give you the glory. We want to give you the honor, Father. Lord, help us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. The war that is between the members of the flesh, between the members of the flesh and the mind, Lord, especially for the spiritually minded people. Many people are falling away. They are entertaining wild thoughts, Lord, Father, giving into it, Father. But I pray, let them discipline their thoughts. Oh, Lord. And then there is another thing called as disciplining your body. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, let us discipline, tame our thoughts, endure temptation. Let us be mindful, Lord. Hallelujah. Because so that we may live a victorious life, being a spiritually minded person is life and peace. Hallelujah. Thank you for releasing the life that is the presence, Lord, your presence, Lord. And thank you for releasing that peace that passeth all understanding in the lives of your people, Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to give you the praise. I just cover all the people who are here with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I cover, Lord, all Lord, the people, Lord, who are not able to make it, just cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let them have a blessed weekend, Lord. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Hallelujah.